back to the announcement at the top.
Hallelujah. All of the glory.
Take the rebuke. Why? Because after rebuke comes restoration. See, if you can accept his rebuke,
that's right.
If you can accept it, then you can be revived and restored immediately. The Bible says suddenly. But that suddenly only happens the moment you say, you know what, Lord? I did this. No. Let's not get it confused. The enemy didn't do anything. I did this. This was me. This was all me. And you know what? Instead of asking you to get me out, I'm asking you to change me in it.
Yes! Yes!
I'm asking you to change me in it. I put myself here. And I'm acknowledging you, God, that I did this. But because I can only rely on you and your might and not my strength, I'm willing to take what you're going to give me. But change me in the eye of the storm. Change me. Hallelujah. And he'll do it. Because he's an able God. Because he's able to do it.
That's right. That's right.
He's always been capable.
More
but you
than.
Make him able. He's always been capable from the beginning of time, before there was time. He was always capable, but we make him able.
The olive, the press, and the oil.
Do I put it up in there?
Video.
No, Tyler.
I'm going to ask them to pull up a video in a minute, but I want everybody to have this scripture. It's important as we're moving in this season. So if you've got a pen or paper, write it down. Mark 14, 36 and 39. We all know it. Mark 14, 36 through 39. I'm not going to rush this, but I am going to be timely. I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version. And it says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch. Y'all watch. And pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. You know, we're all in this season. I just heard it all morning long. We all seem to be under this attack.
Yeah.
We all feel like we're under extreme pressure. I don't know. I mean, it's like used to be, it would be a few in a season, and then you would be able to recover and just, you know, and almost forget that you had just come out of season of pressure. But nowadays, it seems, I want you to know there, it seems like it's every day, all day. The attacks keep coming upon us, and they feel like weight all around us and on us. Almost to the point of us feeling crushed. This pressure makes us unable at times to look past the problem that's weighing us down at the moment. We don't know how to fix it. A lot of people are asking, why am I in it?
Why me?
Why me? That's the question. Why me? There's a reason, y'all. This made me think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when I was dealing with my pressure this week. What he was experiencing.
what he had to not do to continue to experience the pain he was enduring, meaning how he had to go ahead and endure it. It really made me start to contemplate, and the Lord started speaking to me mightily. So right here, I'm going to ask them to play the video.
Okay.
This video that they're getting ready to play is from the series called Chosen. Most of us have seen a little bit of it if you haven't seen it all. So let's watch it. And as they're queuing up the video, I want to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Did you know that the Greek definition for the place where Jesus was in that scripture was Gethsemane and what it means? The word Gethsemane means oil press. The word itself, the name, Gethsemane means oil press. So he was in a place that was called for what happens while he's in the place. So, and he purposely went there. This was not by chance he was in Gethsemane. He had just, while they're pulling up the video, he had just left the disciples and they were together and he was ministering to them and and he went on to Gethsemane. Now, remember we're talking about Jesus, the Son, the incarnate God. We're talking about the one who knows all things, who can be all places at all times, through the Holy Spirit. We talk about that Jesus,
who already knew what
his purpose was. So he went to Gethsemane purposefully. So he put himself in the press. Okay. We got enough? Can you flip the campaign? Okay.
I need a skin step.
We're ready for the first step.
I know this one. Stress, sit down to the line on.
Watching some people perform what happened a lot in his day, pressing olives. And they were using the manual, old-fashioned way of pressing That was to extract the oil. He watched them do this first pressing. And in order to do that, they had to roll, they had it in bags. And they had to roll these heavy stones across the bag and pressure on the bag. You saw him putting on more stones, heavy stones, to create additional pressure. The pressure was so that he could squeeze the oil out of the bags. Now, as the oil is being released from the olives that are in the crushing bags, Jesus appears to have oil running down his temple while he's watching this. While his face became, if you could see it, strange looking, and he appears to begin to weep. And as he looks up, as if to look up at the Father, looking in anticipation for God to say something, in the midst of this silent conversation, the producer here wants us to experience that silent cry that Jesus was experiencing standing there. That not a word was spoken to the Father, as Jesus no doubt knew what was to come and the pain and the pressure associated with it. Most of us are going through pains and pressures. We didn't think or think about that they were coming. Our psalmist talked about it. We did some stuff, but we really weren't thinking about the cost. Okay. But Jesus knew what the cost was. Okay. That's the olive, the press, and the oil. There are some facts about some olives you need to know that make this really important to us. Sometimes God just wants to make things real plain to us, that we don't walk around with our heads in the sky or feeling confused. He is not a God of confusion. He's a God of understanding and wisdom and knowledge, and he wants that for all of his people. So the olive is a fruit with a heart center. It belongs to, but check this out, to a group of fruit called the drupes, D-R-U-P-E-S. Most of us who eat fruits and don't even know that term. I didn't know. Maybe I might be wrong stuff, but I didn't know. But drupes are things like mangoes and cherries and peaches that all have the heart centers in them. And we know that olives grow on the olive tree. Important point. Some of the olives may mature. Before they mature, they're green. But then they turn black when they ripen. That's an important point. Y'all might want to write that one down. Usually, we don't eat raw olives. They're usually cured and fermented. This process will reduce the bitter compounds, which are most abundant. Stay with me, y'all. Stay with me. The olive is a valuable fruit. It has multitude of purposes and benefits. Multitude. It's good for physical healing. It's good for cooking. It's good for the anointing, as represented by the spiritual healing and spiritual power, among many other things. But to get the oil, the olive must y'all with me? Come on, y'all. I need y'all to talk back to me on this one. Because God ain't just talking about a fruit that's in the ground. Okay. So the olive represents us. Let me make it plain. Those who still have that hardcore, having not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or some of us have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, but not Jesus as our Lord. The scripture says in Proverbs 28:13-14, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. But whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamities. Check yourself. If you're in the middle of some problems, you might want to check yourself. You might want to look at whether you hardened your heart to what the Holy Spirit was telling you. You did it. Angel, you opened all this up. You all this. You might want to check whether you turned your head when the Lord was telling you some stuff, when he was trying to prepare you and guide you through some stuff because you thought you could do it better. I'm Jesus, but your Lord, in other words. Okay. Hebrews 4:7 says, again, he appoints a certain day. Today. Saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, all y'all know this last piece, do not harden your heart. So today, this message God is sending to you, and to you, and to you, and to you, if you hear it, harden not your heart today. Okay? If you hear it. Now, it takes a little something to hear it sometimes. I just want you to know. So let's talk about the olive press, the press itself, the equipment called the press, which was used in crushing the olive, or so-called the pressing of the olive. The process involves using a wooden lever with a stone weight attached to push down on a flat stone that squeezed the basket of olives. The oil would flow into a basin stone and then into a collecting vat. Okay, so I don't know if they can put, oh, they put the picture for me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, can y'all see that? Y'all see that stone hanging off the side of that? Those stones weighed anywhere from 25 to 70 pounds that they will put one on. You saw in the movie they put on a second one. And there will be a person on the end of that. Sometimes the pressure comes from people, y'all. Just don't know. Sometimes it might not be you. It might be somebody you're hanging out with. Okay. But okay. So the people on the end, and they are pushing down and moving around that circle. Because the olives, can y'all see the basket where it says basket with olives? The olives are in them baskets. And guess what? There's more than one basket in there, y'all. Y'all catch that?
Yeah.
Y'all got plenty of oil. Y'all got really a lot of oil. But you got to get it out.
Hell, so God.
That it would be pushed down, and then the oil would go in with that little, y'all know if you can see it, there's a basin at the bottom where the oil would go down into it. Y'all see that? Okay. All right, so that's the equipment they use to squeeze. God uses all kinds of equipment. All kinds. He uses people. He uses places. He uses things. He uses us. He uses money or the lack of. He uses homelessness.
Spouses.
I'm going to go there because somebody's going to say, that sounds crazy. Spouses. God, won't you be homeless? No. Sometimes we got to be all the way out before we come all the way in. Okay. All right. I can't. I gotta keep going, y'all. This was so good to me. Now, I said God, Jesus was in the garden. We all said the Bible says of the center. That was the location of where Jesus was. That garden is located at the Mount of Olives. All right. So you Bible scholars know where I fought with that, right? So it wasn't by chance that he was in Gethsemane because he was at the mount where everything was going to take place. You sometimes think that this pressing and this pain is out of place. You ain't got no business being in it. But the truth is, you're right where God wants you to be. He designed this for you. I'm gonna try to stay calm, but I'm feeling the Holy Spirit moving this. So, okay, let me take you to the oil. Now, this is where we're going to rest for a minute. Then there is the oil. In the Bible, oil is used for the purposes of, and I want many things, lighting. They use olive oil to burn in the candles in the tabernacle. Did y'all know that? Okay. They didn't have electricity, y'all. So they had the oil to use. They used oil for healing in their ritual of healing to evoke God's touch. You know the scripture that tells you that they're sick among you. Call on the elders that they may come and anoint you and pray for you. That wasn't just a little special thing that the elders are supposed to be doing. That is what God ordained to happen when the oil is applied.
Right.
That you would be anointed. Why the anointing? Okay, remember that we said the olive, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I got to tell you all this. The olive is just a fruit. The power ain't in the olive. The power is in the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit moving, and the oil is the representation of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to prove it to you. Okay. So they also use, and we do it today, they tell you that the doctors are finally catching up with God a little bit. Now they're telling you to use olive oil for your skin and for your hair and for your nails, but it's been always been a medicinal oil. And then they use olive oil, the grain, and grain. And then we use olive oil or oil for the burning of incense. I could keep going, but we're going to rest on the anointing. Olive oil was used, most of us know, to anoint the kings and the priests and the tabernacle as a symbol of God's choice or chosen one and God's power through the operation of the Holy Spirit. What you're saying, Elder, I'm saying that the oil represents the Holy Spirit. It's not just an oil by God's choosing, not ours. The oil was a liquid symbol of God's Spirit and the water of life. The word anointing, let's talk about that. The word anointing means to smear or to rub or plop. You know David, when he was anointed king, as young as he was, 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil. I have to bring my horn. There's literally a horn they used to use to keep the oil in so that it would not waste, dry out, evaporate. The horn would be cloth. So they could literally pick up this horn and it would be saturated. Okay. All right. So the holy oil. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, being David, in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David absolutely immediately. And from that day forth, that's the point. Let me say this to y'all. Because you don't do some stuff right, because you don't, because we don't. Okay, I'm in here with y'all. Don't think I'm judging. Because we don't say some stuff right, because we just hard-headed and want to do it our way, the anointing doesn't leave us. But your operation of it will. God ain't taking his anointing from you. He's not an Indian giver. He didn't say, I gave this to you, and then thank you, baby. And then you didn't do right, so I'll take it back like we do. That's the stuff we do. I'm mad at you. You didn't do it the way I said do it or the way I wanted you to do it. You didn't sound like me. You didn't represent me the way I wanted you to represent me. So I'm done with you. Thank God, God ain't one of us.
Yes, God.
I just want y'all to know. So the anointing stays, even if you can't operate. I just want to say that. Now, the anointing also, the giftings come with that repentance. So you're going to keep your gift, too. But if it ain't anointed, it ain't working. Every one of us got a gift in here. Most of us have more by what the word says than one. You got gifts. That's what God said. But if the gifts are not anointed, in other words, if they had not been released with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you just got gifts. It's like having a closet full of shoes. You can only wear one of them at a time. Or it's like having lots of money and you too sick to spend it. Maybe you're stingy. You were nice. I don't be so nice. Maybe you're stingy. Yeah. So the oil, particularly that oil that David was anointed with, was a mix of myrrh and cinnamon and acacia. It had a beautiful fragrance. Somebody give me that oil. In the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah miraculously provided oil for, we all know this story, for the woman who was old, who was poor. And he alleviated her poverty. Why are you saying this? Because the oil, I ain't talking about the oil in his body. I'm talking about the oil in his body. Can bring prosperity.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Don't get too excited though, y'all, because there's some things you got to do to have it the way God said have it. And there's a price to pay. I'm talking about that price too. Come on, baby. There's a price to pay. Yes. In the Old Testament, when Elijah did that, he miraculously provided for the woman, the widow, when he anointed her with the oil. The oil represents the Holy Spirit in the Word. In Mark 14, we see Jesus is confronting his death in the Garden of Gethsemane. We get a picture of what went through Jesus' mind as he talked to his Father in prayer. It was necessary for the oil to be applied, that he may have the power to endure the suffering of the process and the completion of the crucifixion death. Okay, well, I'm going to break that down. As I said in the beginning, Jesus knew where he was going, and he knew why he was going there. But when he looked up at the Father, that's even before he started praying openly, you could see, I thought that was such a great depiction of what he must have been feeling when he looked up at the Father and was saying, God, this is what I'm feeling right now. This is what I'm going through right now. As he stood and watched them press that all out. He was feeling that there were stones and bricks all over him, like he was unable to move. The bags of oil didn't have no hands or arms, so it was completely at the mercy of what was happening to them. Isn't that how you feel when you're under the press? Isn't that what you're feeling in life when you can't fix it? You don't know what to do? Like you will have no hands, no feet, no mind, no nothing. You are completely at the mercy of the situation that has you pressed down. But Jesus is experiencing this, just standing there, knowing he was getting ready to physically feel it. Oh, okay, I don't know about y'all, and I love me some Jesus. I love, this ain't talk, this is for, I love me some Jesus. But I can't stand here and tell you I know when I'm under the press. And I go to the place where I'm going to be under the press. And I stand and watch it being happening. And then I receive it, all of it. I ain't Jesus. I want y'all to know, so y'all pray for me, okay? I'm not Jesus. I don't know that I can handle that. I've cried a many day, and just recently, as Angel said, just recently, I cried because the pressure was so bad. The tears that man, that God was showing us is an example, a mighty example of what it's like to get the oil of the Holy Spirit to help carry you through to what you must go through. Y'all go through it. You still got to go through it now. And that's the point. Yes. It was necessary for the oil to be applied, that he may have the power to endure that suffering. It was necessary for the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit would come with the oil. Remember, I took the anointing to David. When the oil God applied, the Holy Spirit was released. He couldn't have done that unless he was in conjunction with the Holy Spirit and the Father before this process started. Because he had to still be in the flesh. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Y'all, I'm going somewhere with that. He still was in the flesh. He was still human before the question started. And then the Holy Spirit had to come in and join him and the Father so that he could be able to stand for all of us and all the mess we've done and continue to do. Woo, Lord Jesus. It was the crushing of the oils that brought the Holy Spirit to stand with him, to cover him, to unite him and the Father back together, that he could take it. Y'all better connect with the Holy Spirit. You better act like the Holy Spirit can do what you can't do. You better tell God what you need from him. You better give up the ghost so that you can get the Holy Ghost. You better not be in self, but you gotta be in the Holy Ghost. Just before the enemy came, the enemies, you know, the prisoners, I mean the guards, they came to take him away after he was falsely accused. He'd been falsely accused for years, y'all. Y'all do know that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for years he'd been falsely accused. Yeah. They came and got him, and then they beat him unmercifully, and then they tortured him by hanging him. They taunted him while he hung there. And check this out. And he had the power. He possessed the power to say one thing. He didn't have to do a dissertation. He didn't have to pray a long time. He didn't have to go get educated. All he had to do was say one thing, and every one of them would have dropped dead. The old folks used to say, I was raised around much older folks than I am right now, but immediately, wouldn't have been no hesitation, wasn't no doctors going to be able to get there, they weren't carting no bodies nowhere because they all would have been dead. But he didn't. The Holy Spirit gave him the ability, the Father anointed him to be able to stand so that we could, when we get under the press. Come on, y'all, you under the press? You under the press? Are y'all under the I believe God gave me this message. I didn't ask for this. But I need to hear y'all. Are y'all under the press?
Yes.
Now, are you going to stand while you're under the press? Are you going to stand? Or you going to let, are you going to let the press get you? See, God warned us that we'd be under the press. Because he said trials and tribulations will come. That's called the press. That's called the press. But the press, see, that when the enemy does these things, or we do them, we don't forget that the press was designed to push out the oil. So that means you've already been given in you what God has made so that you could stand, overcome, and be victorious. But we kind of forget that when we get in the press. Okay, let me go back a little bit. And the other thing that's very significant about the pressing, ooh, the pressure. Let me put it about the pressure. Like the pressing with Jesus. Jesus was called the light of the world. John 8:12, John 1:4-5. And they told us that he would go through a crushing and a pressing experience in Gethsemane, the place of God. But it depicted, like in the movie, that the oil is being applied. The Lord said, we are Christians. We're supposed to be, but I'm going to be trying right now. The Lord said, we who are Christians are the light of the world. We, like Matthew 5:14, and Ephesians 5:8, as followers of Christ, we desire or at least we should, to shine brightly in this world of darkness. But you can't do that without the Holy Spirit. You can study the Word, and the Word will never return void. But to release it, you got to be anointed by the Lord to be able to walk it. So don't be surprised if the Holy Spirit takes you into the darkness of a Gethsemane experience. Because he will. Remember how he took Jesus up to the mountain?
Yeah.
Tested him before, let him get tested for 40 days. See, a lot of people call it, Jesus, your God ain't test nobody. And no, so he had just got baptized. And the word said, I didn't say this, that the Holy Spirit took him up to the mountain. Now, do you think the Holy Spirit took him up the mountain not knowing that the enemy was going to be up there when he got there?
Hallelujah.
Oh, I just want y'all to know. You don't know where you're going sometime or who's going to be there, but what I can tell you is, if you're in Jesus, he's more than enough. More than the world against you. I just need you to know I'm a living testimony. Okay, so we, I got kind of stuff because I'm feeling, Lord, there is a need for you to understand that God means to deliver you from it all. He said that he would turn everything for your good, but he never told you you wouldn't have problems. He didn't never say that everything would be a rose garden, as the world says. He did tell you that the enemy is prowling, looking for who he can devour.
Right.
He never put a time frame on that. So if he's prowling, that means he's continually doing this.
Yeah.
So you sit around wondering, how come, why me? You said it. I ain't got to say no more. Okay. We're going to have these battles of our minds. But if we hold on to the self-life that God gave us. If we make a choice to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, wholeheartedly, not sometimes. See, sometimes when it feels good, we follow. I got to say this. When Angel starts to sing and worship, she is truly a worshiper. So it's not hard to go all the way in and really get caught up in the worship of our Lord with someone who's truly a worshiper, because that's her anointing. But if she run around, if these wonderful musicians run around, she said that, there's no music. Can you go into the space of worship without any help?
Right.
When the pressure gets on, can you go into your prayer closet and then call him up?
Right.
Right there. Can you go into a space? Okay, don't go in the door. Don't go in the closet. Because we think of closets like that back there. That's not what God's talking about. Can you go out back? Can you go outside? Can you go to the park? Can you get in your car? Can you go someplace where you said it's just me and you? And let the pressure that you're feeling be first, foremost, up front, and out, so that you can receive the Holy Spirit. Because see, you got to be honest. That's what I'm telling you. Yeah, don't pretend like you're so great and so bold that you don't need God to help you right now. See, that's how we end up in these pressures. Yeah, we smart. We educated. We know the steps. I got step A, B, and C. I follow that. That's going to take me to D. And then D's going to open up the door. And when you get to the door still won't open. Because God says, I'm the one who opened up doors that no man can close. And I close them doors that you keep trying to get into that are causing you problems. If you trust me, if you take on this oil that I have for you, you will live a life of abundance. That doesn't mean you're going to be a $5 million richer. Could be. I'm not telling you can. I'm just telling you, life abundance is not all about money. So, you know, you feel the pressure right now? You would really like not to be feeling the pressure, right? I don't know. You know, in the medical field, I'm not a doctor. But I've had enough exposure to this to understand the principles like we should, principles of the Word of God. In the medical field, they say, stress kills. Why stress kill? That's a word. I mean, it's a stress, they say. Okay, so break it down real quick. It inflames everything that is physical about you, that make it work harder than it has to. That's because when you stay under the stress or the press and don't know how to get to God, your body got to take the work. And your body was never designed by God to sustain the pressure of stress. Remember they were in the garden? Everything they needed was there. Everything. Not only was everything they needed was there, I'm talking about food, beauty, all that, but so was God. So there's no way to stress and get to them. But we think we got plans that we're going to work the stress out, and we're going to circumvent getting to God and the Holy Spirit. Unless the oil is applied, we're talking about the Spirit. And you get into that place with the Holy Spirit, your body going to take all that stress. I'm not speaking negative over anybody's life. I'm telling you the truth and the reality of what happens physically. God is not a wooey God. God gave us a body that he said he's going to change every 2 seconds. When he designed it in the beginning to operate a certain way, and we didn't have to do something to take care of that body, which includes bringing on the Holy Spirit. So you cannot blame the enemy when your body falls apart all the time. You're not doing what God told you to do.
Well,
God didn't save me because I wasn't supposed to have this because you were if you didn't do what God said to do. Okay.
Jesus.
All right, I'm almost done. Thank you, Jesus. I do not know that the Lord allows the sin to crept in his spirit. Yes, please know that. He allows them to take place in our lives to awaken us to the reality of what, y'all? Of what? What is it he trying to get us to know? He only wants you to know one thing, that he loves you. He loves you undyingly, undauntingly. And he wants to add to that your purpose in life. But you can't get to your purpose if all you think about is your pressing. That's the time. In Gethsemane, we're tempted to live in our flesh. In that pressing, we only think about how we feel. Our flesh always wants to be pleased. But it really don't give us no happiness. Because it feels good now, and now you got to pay it again 10 minutes later on. It's so temporary. You ate something really good, tastes good today. And tomorrow you want something up. Wait a minute, maybe not tomorrow. Maybe tonight you want something else that tastes good. You bought a really nice outfit today and looked like $1 million. Well, I think I want to look like that again next week. All I'm saying is, your flesh is always going to be satisfied. Always. And God is trying to tell you, when we get into pressing, it ain't about your flesh. It's all about Him, the Spirit of God, your life in Him, and your purpose. And your purpose. We can give our fears. We can give into our fears. Truth be told, most of us do. Preachers alike. People think that we don't succumb to fear, but that's not true. Fear does creep in sometimes. If that weren't true, He wouldn't have told us. Fear keeps in. But it's what you do after the fear that makes a difference. Our appetites, we can seek higher ways. And during these situations, we face crossroads. Now, this is where the difference lies. What direction are you going to choose? The road that the Holy Spirit is bringing is the road of maturity. God wants me to tell you that you are in a press. Don't act like you're not. It is stressful. It is painful. It is perplexing. But he has all the answers. He's already supplied the way out. It's called the way of escape. He's already fixed it for you. But you, I'm in here with y'all. I should be sitting with you. You gotta trust me. You gotta not focus on the pain, but focus on the promise.
Amen.
You gotta say some things out of your mouth because he gave you the authority to do some things, to change some things, to move some things, to create some things. He already did it. He don't have to redo nothing. He already did it. Everything you need, God is already provided. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So I'm going to say to everyone in this room today, if there's anybody here, and you have been struggling with going through the pressing, and you need the oil to start to come forth, that we are here, God first, Holy Spirit, and Jesus, I say we, here to help you touch and agree with him, that you would not suffer through the stress and the pressure of the oil pressing, because your oil has to come out. You can't get used by God with no oil. That's the anointing I'm talking about, right? If there's anybody in this place today who wants us to touch and agree that we may pray, you can come right on.